Actually, I'm unaware of any changes that have been made to the draft regulations, so we're all dismissed. Well, I've heard, you know, Brother Ernie made that statement, and that word must have gotten around somehow, but if I told someone that, I told it by mistake. But we do have a presentation this evening that we primarily direct to our young people. Some of it many of us have heard many times. Maybe some of the particular PowerPoint slides we will show, some have yet to hear and see. But the tone of the Bible school and the comments that have been made, at least in the exhortations and the adult classes, have well set the stage for our comments tonight. And what we have to say will meld into that, or this talk will meld into those classes and exhortations well, I believe. First off, however, I want to say that it's certainly a pleasure to be here, and from the Colliston Ecclesia, we want to thank the Bible School Committee and all those that worked so hard to plan and execute or put on this Bible School, conduct this Bible School. So we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And I know it takes a lot of effort from a lot of people. Many, many hours go into a Bible school, preparation for a Bible school. So if we'll focus our attention on the slides now. Brother Mack, a couple of evenings ago, made mention of the very first beatitude, and he related it to the predominant characteristic of human flesh, I believe, and that is pride. Of course, some might argue that that's the case. But anyway, for those who care to mark your Bibles, if you've yet to mark your Bible, I strongly recommend that you mark this and circle it and start and everything along those lines. It's a short verse, but I think it says a lot. It says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state," every man and every woman we could read, I believe, and be correct. But the Scripture specifically says, "Every man at his best state is altogether vanity." So we should have no doubt about what we are. On to the topic at hand. Brother Tom Northey stood at this podium almost a year ago to the day of today, a year ago, and gave an exhortation on this same subject. I believe he used this verse. But anyway, I think it's one we need to all give a lot of thought to, young and old alike. 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And Brother Tom also gave this definition as one that certainly applies. "Conscientious objection is a lifestyle of critical evaluation and decision making through the lens of Scripture, especially the teachings of Christ. It is measurable, observable. It is a measurable, observable pattern of behavior over time that can be testified to by others." We might ask ourselves, how much review would be required of us as individuals if we were asked to assist a young brother or student to prepare to appear before a draft board, make a claim for excuse from jury service based on our religious beliefs, explain to anyone who asks why we refrain to vote or participate in governmental politics? Would we be able to instantly refer to quite applicable passages such as the following and present a cogent argument for the Christadelphian positions on these topics? I don't see many hands up, but I'm sure many of us could. Maybe everybody sitting out there could. Here are a few scriptures that apply to each of these, and there are many more that can be used to support each and every one. And we'll get to some of these as we go through these slides this evening. Another verse I think that relates to the one we let off with on pride is Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Now, I heard Brother Pete, who was referred to earlier, will be 102 years old in August, give this verse, these verses actually probably from this very podium. But anyway, it reads, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." It's very dangerous to place confidence in governmental leaders. In fact, it's probably dangerous for us to place confidence in any human, really, except maybe our brothers and sisters and those of like precious belief. I don't mean we can't trust others to any degree, but to totally trust and have a lot of faith that if you can believe what someone tells you, we have to be very careful. But anyway, regarding leaders, one non-Christadelphian writer, Herbert Butterfield of Cambridge University in 1950, in his book titled Christianity and History, stated, "It is essential not to have faith in human nature. Such faith is a recent heresy and a very disastrous one." Another non-Christadelphian, who was a philosopher, mathematician, writer, and an English lord, Bertrand Russell, stated in his book entitled Power, which was written in 1938, "Christianity in its earliest days was entirely unpolitical. The best representatives of the primitive tradition in our time are the Christadelphians, who believe the end of the world to be imminent and refuse to have any part or lot in secular affairs. This attitude, however, is only possible to a small group." Brother Blair Smith often made the statement, We were conscientious objectors before we were Christadelphians. In addition, it is important for all of us to remember that we are all conscientious objectors at all times, whether we are male or female, or whether we ever are required to register with Selective Service, or whether we are ever called before a draft board. Brother Dave Taggart made some reference to this today. I've had others comment during the week that this is the case. We need to all appreciate that this is a full-time job for all those who have come into the name of Jesus Christ. I heard someone say one time, "He's a conscientious objector. He has to go before the draft board." That's true, but it's almost as if only young males who have to go before the draft board, who are Christadelphians, are conscientious objectors. We should appreciate that it goes way beyond just those who might go before the authorities and make a claim. Why, then, do we take this position? It's certainly a minority position, quite a minority position in this nation. But we believe that God's Word clearly teaches that those who are under the law of Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus are to refrain from participation in the armies of men. Rather, we are to wait on our Lord and Master, wait until our Lord and Master returns and He becomes commander-in-chief over His servants, the saints. It is incidental to our service to Yahweh that we ask for exemption from military service to the extent that we refrain to participate in the armies of men as non-combatants. But willingly agree to serve in non-military capacities such as at hospitals or in the Forest Service. Again, why are we conscientious objectors? So that we might be invited into God's eternal kingdom, that glorious kingdom which His Son, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, will establish upon this earth when He returns for that expressed purpose. Well, what are the precepts of war, and what do we see Scripture teaches us in contrast? It's a precept of war to resist evil treatment from others. Scripture tells us, resist not evil. Precept of war, to hate thine enemy. Scripture clearly teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, to which Brother Mack made reference the other evening, to love your enemy. Recompense to your enemies evil for evil. So the armies of men must teach. Scripture says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Continuing on, a precept of war is to avenge yourself on those who oppress you or rebel against you. We're told in Scripture, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Another one, another precept of war, submit not to insult, injustice, or cruelty. We're told in Scripture to give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Someone quoted this morning, or referred to this morning in a class, I believe, or maybe it was exhortation last evening. But anyway, it's a very important scripture for us. Young people, you might want to mark it. Read the context of it as well. We must obey God rather than men, we read in Acts 5:29. Well, the soldier must fire when ordered to do so, and must cease fire immediately when commanded to do so by those who are in authority over him. In 2 Timothy 2:2, 3 through 4, we read, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth for Jesus Christ entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And we think of this as ones who've been chosen to be saints, to please him who did the choosing, specifically Jesus Christ. Commandments of Christ versus the wishes of the state. When the follower of Christ tries to reconcile the wishes of the state with the commands of our master, he or she will sometimes find that the commands of the state and the commands of Christ are as opposed to each other as the spirit is to the flesh. Will the followers of Christ ever be allowed to fight? When commanded to do so by their master, followers of Christ will certainly fight in some fashion, as was done by the children of Israel in Old Testament times, under the commands of God's inspired men, who informed them of the time and place and details of how they were supposed to fight and subdue their enemies. Will the follower of Christ ever be allowed to fight? Continued. We're not pacifist in the traditional sense. Rather, when Christ commands his servants, that is, those who will be invited into the kingdom he will establish, then will his servants, the saints, fight. Many passages teach this, Psalm 149, Ezekiel 38, Zechariah 12 and 14, and Revelation 16 and Luke 19, 27. Christ's instruction to his servants, found again in Matthew chapter 5, the first chapter of the Beatitudes, that is, the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemies, pray for your enemies, forgive your enemies. These are absolute commands, and we are not allowed to add except to any of them. For example, we cannot add, love your enemies except when war is declared. When your enemies are hungry, feed them except when at war. Overcome evil with good except when men decree otherwise. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath except when the state says differently. We have a statement here by an English Christadelphian, and I'm uncertain who it is. I think I remember, but rather than give a name, I'm forced to say I'm unsure. But anyway, this is, I was unable to find the quote, but this is close to the quote of what this English Christadelphian said probably 50 years ago now. If one carefully and thoughtfully reads the Sermon on the Mount, he or she should have no questions on what our obligations are before Yahweh, our very Creator, and thus our course of action on these matters should be obvious. So the focus for the servants of God should be what? Do as Abraham did, as we read in Hebrews 11:10. For he that is Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Proper walk is imperative for us to be invited into the kingdom, and for anyone who would go before the draft board and maybe even to be excused as a juror, to have our walk commensurate with our stated beliefs. 2 Peter 3:10 through 12 read, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, all these temporal things, what manner of persons ought we, or ye, it says in Scripture specifically, to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Witnesses for the Truth, that passage we just read and this quote from Brother John Peake were both given by Brother Tom Northey last year on this subject right here at this podium. So we're to be witnesses for the saving truth. As witnesses for the saving truth that we espouse and proclaim, we have a responsibility to give witness by our actions, a witness that is being constantly observed by those with whom we must associate in our daily lives. The people of the world have a right to look for consistency between our professions and our behavior. And we might all remind ourselves at this moment, Jesus does this constantly. He doesn't have to have a camera mounted in the ceiling of a quick stop to know what we do or don't do, or where we go or don't go. The Israeli military using Facebook to find draft dodgers. I got this in an email. I believe it was sent to me by Brother Ralph DiLiberto. Someone sent me this a couple of months ago anyway. The article said about 1,000 women were found falsely posing as Orthodox Jews after photos and information on their profiles indicated otherwise. Women are drafted into the Israeli military unless they are exempted for a few reasons, one of which, and the largest classification, is based on their religious beliefs if they are Orthodox Jews. So they went around bragging on Facebook about how they escaped the Israeli draft because they claimed to be Orthodox Jews. At least some of them did. But Big Brother found them out. Gentile times are to be fulfilled and this order of things destroyed, as we read in Luke 21, 24, and Daniel 2, and 7, and 12, for a few verses. And speaking of the end of Gentile times, we read in Daniel 2, 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You already had that one earlier on. Well, we talked about a mission statement in the Christadelphia National Service Committee a few years ago and actually never formally adopted it, but I believe the few statements we have here do capture our scope or what we might call our responsibilities or our charge. Incidentally, although Canada has its own, I think they call it a standing committee up there, which is analogous to the Christadelphia National Service Committee that we have in the U.S. for unamended ecclesias, the basis of the beliefs are the same, but the laws and regulations are different. So some of the things that we present as far as the regulations and laws in the United States do not directly apply to Canadians. But I think all the material that we would present and have to distribute, which captures the basis of why we believe what we do and how to formulate a discussion or argument around that basis, applies to both Canadians and citizens or citizens of the United States. So the scriptural teaching transcends the U.S.-Canadian border. One of the things we have as a mission statement is to promote teaching the kingdom of God and the integral instruction on our conscientious position. To assist brethren and youth Sunday school members in their study and preparation to claim conscientious objection to military service. The committee will be active to keep the brotherhood informed of changes in the U.S. military code or applicable laws that affect our position as conscientious objectors. We will assist directly or indirectly to attend Christadelphians who are summoned to appear before a draft or hearing board. The only thing that a brother or someone who could go with a young person before a draft board can basically do is show the attendance record and claim that the person's in good standing with the ecclesia or what have you. The draft board will disallow character references from someone you bring with you. They will disallow an older brother, for example, to explain these scriptures and why we have the position we have based on the Bible. So, again, about all you can do is go. Well, I mean, it's a lot. It could be very. It's very important not to diminish it, but it is limited. So the young Sunday school student, young brother, needs to be very well informed and, of course, needs to have a very good record regarding walk and behavior. The committee also, Lord willing, will be active to distribute material to all of the household of faith who make requests on the related subjects of our conscientious objection to service as jurors or voting and participation in politics, in addition to military service. Three articles are to be published in unamended publications soon, hopefully before the end of the year. The following three titles are of one article each, which will soon appear in the Christadelphian Advocate, the Sanctuary Keeper, and the Truth Cleaner. The Truth Cleaner might not appear in text or written form or hard copy for a while, if at all. Rather, Brother Al might post it on the website, or post them on the website. The article titles are Our Positions as Conscientious Objectors And that one was prepared by brothers Don and Tom Northey. Summoned for Jury Duty was prepared by brothers Bobby Cox and Bobby Henderson. And the third one, Should Believers Vote or Participate in Politics, I prepared. We strongly suggest that meeting attendance records be kept. It's hard to stress this enough. Hopefully everyone's doing that, even if you're in isolation or whatever the case might be. For purposes of requests before the authorities on any of the matters we've presented tonight, meeting attendance records can be quite helpful. This includes, but is not limited to, all Sunday meetings, Bible classes, study days, gatherings, and similar assemblies. In addition, other activities related to our ecclesias should be documented, that is, Bible school work days, arranging brothers' meetings, teaching and speaking dates, special ecclesial committees, and similar meetings that relate to this matter. We, as of about a month ago, with the help of Brother Bobby Cox and, of course, Brother Bobby and Brother Tom, who are here and all on the committee as well, contributed articles and what have you. Incidentally, the current members of the committee are Brother Don Northey of Colorado, Brother Ralph DiLiberto of Finger Lakes, New York, Brother Bobby Cox of San Antonio, Texas, Brother Bobby Henderson of here in North Little Rock, and I. And I'm in the Colleston, Louisiana ecclesia. Brother Tom Northey, too, also of Colorado. Anyway, this new CD, which we're calling CD 4, or Revision 4, contains all of CD 3, which contained previous CDs. In addition, CD 4 has 15 new files. And I'm not going to read every article title, but we'll show, we'll pull up the CD in a minute. But anyway, or show it on the as a file folder. But anyway, some of the titles here you can see. The first one is a certificate of membership in an ecclesia, which can be very important, as we said, regarding attendance records. But anyway, many of these others are new or have not been on the CD before. They're not necessarily all new. Number 7, a letter from Albert Mertz, was a Christadelphian World War II German war prisoner. And he was actually as a conscientious objector, he appealed and the governmental authorities tried to pressure him into being admitted into Hitler's army, but he refused, and as a result saw death at an early age. But a letter or two of his is on this CD now. We mentioned the article by Brother Don and Tom. That's number 8. An article that appeared in The Advocate about a year ago, I guess, by Sister Sarah Mitchell, was written in 1891. We put on there. It's a very good article. Suggested steps for complying with selective service registration requirements. I want to spend a couple of minutes on that. The selective service form, and there's a brand new one, by the way, and maybe that's where someone got the idea that the regulations had changed. But anyway, I was unaware this new form was out there, and I happened to be in the post office. In fact, I was sending CD number 4 to Brother Blair Smith, and I usually get one or two of these when I go in the post office, and I looked over there, and it has changed. The outside has changed. The inside's not much different. It's laid out a little different in different colors. But we strongly suggest that all those who are 18 years, males who are 18 years old in this country, 30 days before or within 30 days after your 18th birthday, be sure to register. In addition, in the packets we're going to make available to ages 16 through 20, if some over 18 didn't get them last year and would care to have one, we'll hand them out later. There's a 2-page document in there which is titled Suggested Steps for Complying with Selective Service Registration Requirements. This form does not have a place on it for you to make a claim as a conscientious objector. Years ago, back in the Vietnam days, the form did, but they apparently want to not make it so convenient to make that claim, so they took that checkbox off. So what we have now, and Brother Blair put this suggested steps two-page document together a number of years ago, what we do now is send a letter to Selective Service, also mail a letter to oneself, make sure you get a good postmark on it, which all this is outlined in that document. Get a good postmark over it, send a copy of that letter to yourself with a post stamp date the day you send it, and if you're called before a draft board, you can present that. The Interreligious Service Board in Washington, D.C. suggests that as the method to inform the Selective Service system, since no checkbox is in here to do so. Again, we have those articles that are referred to that will come out in the various publications. Summoned for Jury Duty by Brother Bobby Cox and Bobby Henderson, and number 8, Our Position as Conscientious Objectors by Don and Tom Northey. And we have also one audio presentation on there, and it is the exhortation that Brother Tom gave right here last year. I heard many, many good comments on it, and copy quality is very good. I've listened to it a number of times. It sounds like studio quality, so we need to thank Sister Allison and Brother Larry for that. And I recommend everybody that hasn't heard that exhortation get one of these CDs and listen to it. The CDs are at no cost. The committee is making them available at no cost. Also, Brother Bobby Cox found this number 15, which is U.S. Selective Service System presentation. I'll show a slide or two on it in a minute when I get to the other file. But the Selective Service System has a PowerPoint presentation, and we put it on that. He got permission from them to allow us to put that on the CD. It's not to be copied, though, off this CD and transmitted to anyone else. We're allowed to use it for our purposes, but don't make your own copy and send it to other people. If somebody needs it, somebody else needs it. If it's a Christadelphian, they can get it from us. Of course, you could burn the CD and give them the entire CD, but be sure you keep it within the brotherhood, so to speak. Probably anybody can get it off of a website, I think. Is it available on that website, Bobby? Did you get it on the Selective Service website? So you can go to the Selective Service website and get it. But they didn't want us to distribute it just to the whole wide world, so to speak. The contents of the packets that we prepare to distribute to males ages 16 to 20 at all summer Bible schools of unamended summer Bible schools this summer have 5 documents in them. This new CD4 and a cover letter associated with it. The book by Brother Ted Evans, which we handed out last year in the packet, Ye Are Strangers and Sojourners With Me. Number 3, one of the articles from CD4 by Brother Blair Smith titled Why Christadelphians Are Conscientious Objectors. So although it's on the CD, we also put it in hard copy to emphasize it. Also, another article from Brother Blair is on CD4. It's Why Christadelphians Rather Are Conscientious Objectors to Participation in Jury Service and Taking Part in Military Service, Politics, and Related Activities. It primarily addresses our position to not serve as jurors, but it also touches on these other subjects briefly. And a paper copy of these suggested steps for registration, which I mentioned earlier. Yahweh insisted that his commands be followed. Jeremiah 2, 7 and 8 read, And I brought you into a plentiful country, but when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, the prophets supposedly of God, and walked after things which do not profit. Jeremiah 25:3-4. The word of the Lord hath come unto me, Jeremiah was saying, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. I hope these two passages resonate pretty well with us this week, based on what we've heard so far in our classes and exhortations. I suppose for the purpose of emphasizing how insistent God was to the children of Israel, the translators used the term, God rose up early. We might have risen early to come up here. We've been all excited about coming up here, or rather excited about coming up here, like we would for some special occasion. It indicates it was quite a priority for God to impress upon them what commands he expected them to follow. If we are uninformed, do we think Jesus will usher us into his kingdom? Is our walk commensurate with our understanding of Scripture? God's kingdom will be established. Daniel 7:27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. One must commit himself or herself to properly honor and serve God. We have one with us this evening who made that commitment today, initial commitment in the waters of baptism, important commitment. We are unable to express strongly enough the importance placed upon the fact that one must commit himself or herself forevermore to service in the Lord's vineyard when he comes into covenant relationship in this era through the waters of baptism. It is not okay just not to sin if we were able to do that. We are not to be neutral, passive, or independent. Rather, we are to be active and positive and passionate about God's Word and study and consider and work on those things which do bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. Zechariah 14:9 is another good one to mark in your Bibles. Quite a contrast does this scripture relate to us as compared to what we see today, the world throughout. And the Lord shall be king, it should be, over all the earth in that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. No more concerns about all these groups that Brother Dave related to us today, which insist upon being accommodated. God's law will go forth, and the people will have to walk in it. We want to give out tonight, in addition to these packets we referred to earlier, the CD4 to the ecclesial secretaries of all U.S. ecclesias who are represented here. So if ecclesial secretaries are here, or someone who can take it and give it to the ecclesial secretary in your respective ecclesia, we won't have to mail them. We'll be happy to not have to mail them. Of course, we can mail them, and we'll mail most of them. In addition, those who are listed in the 2010 ecclesial directory in isolation, or if you've not listed in there, or are in fact in isolation, we'll give you a CD as well, and we'll have to mail it to you, or you get one otherwise. Also, for those young men who might have got packets last year, the only thing different, if you already got one of these, if you got a packet here last year or at another unamended Bible school, one of these packets, the only thing different in the packet this year and last year is the CD is now the revised CD. So if you have a packet and have that material from last year, we'll give you just a CD. And we have some extra CDs also for those who might want them. I didn't bring every one I have up here, but we can get them tomorrow. I have enough for, I think, the Ecclesias and those in isolation. So, does anybody have any questions or comments about any of this? Again, any of the National Service Committee members can be contacted for questions or material. We fortunately have enough in the Treasury at the moment to provide all these materials at no cost, and maybe can continue to do so for a while. So there's no cost for any of this. Please avail yourselves of it. For the parents, adults, aunts, uncles, grandparents, guardians, whatever, if it's been a while since you individually or your ecclesias have studied these subjects, you might want to consider doing so sometime soon. Not that we think a draft is imminent. We've heard nothing of the sort, but we never know. Things can change very quickly, and we know world conditions are far from easy in these days. So as time goes on, we don't know what might happen, and it very well could be, for example, in England in World War II, men up to age 50 later on in the war were drafted because England took a severe beating in World War II, early on anyway. And they resorted to drafting men up to age 50. So this is not just a young people's subject and topic. Thank you for your time.